Yo, what's up? Welcome to the OK Beast podcast, episode 37. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye. Joining me this week, as always, is Ian Preschel. What's up, Ian?
Hey, man.
How are you doing today?
I'm a little tired, but I'm good.
Ian, something crazy happened yesterday.
What happened?
Can you imagine what it is?
Kendrick Lamar's new album
came out, and it set the world on fire. It took the hood community by storm. I've been listening to it nonstop for the last about 24 hours. And in this album is kind of what I wanted. Not even kind of what I wanted. Exactly what I wanted after Good Kid, Mad City. Before Kendrick was like, I'm going to make To Pimp a Butterfly. And I was like, okay, cool. I listened to Pimp a Butterfly. I was like, okay, this is good. This is like a really great, amazing album. And it has a good, deep message. But Kendrick has now reverted and went back to what I thought his sequel album would be to Good Kid, Mad City. And ask me how I feel about this album.
No.
Fair enough.
No, but anyway. No, we were talking before the podcast about like through narratives in albums, and I was just realizing, since you were talking about To Pimp a Butterfly, did you like the through narrative with like Tupac and like kind of the homage to Tupac with all that in his album with that? Did you like it or
no? So I like that, but I feel like that part even the thing about that is that it they fed that throughout like the entire album, but it felt like such a insignificant portion of like the through narrative of that album, because the thing is it tied everything together at the last track. Like, if you're not familiar with To Pimp a Butterfly, basically like after most of the songs you would have like Kendrick reciting this he's reciting like this piece, I guess it is kind of a poem, and basically it all kind of ties together at the end with like this like 10-minute dialogue between Kendrick and Tupac, and I felt like that stuff was cool. But like the thing that kind of like held me, or the thing that impressed me about To Pimp a Butterfly, was the through narrative of him going to Africa. So like, if you like pay attention to the songs, like he has like part that he's kind of recapturing his journey from like going through depression, as you can like tell in like the song "You." He's like going through depression, having like fits in like hotels. Later on, if you like listen to the song "Mama," he's going to Africa and kind of having like this experience of rediscovering who he is and what's important to him. And I think like I don't know if this is said explicitly anywhere, but like that trip to Africa is kind of what led him to make this album. And he has like some really good stuff in there about like realizing where we're from and like the roots of who we are, and that stuff I feel like was a lot more powerful than the Tupac stuff, even though I thought the Tupac stuff was really dope, and I thought it was like clever, like him like replacing like him taking a Tupac interview from forever ago and then him like replacing the interview with himself. I thought that stuff was pretty clever. But yeah, I thought like the cooler through narrative was more so like the stuff that had to do with like his depression and his like kind of self-realization and stuff.
Apparently the original title was supposed to be called To Pimp a Caterpillar, which would have spelled out Tupac.
Caterpillar.
Yeah,
that would make so much sense. Yeah,
but then in relation to what you were saying is that they wanted the album to be a like reflection of positivity, and pimp, according to Kendrick during an interview, was a very negative term, like an aggressive term. So for them to do a pimp to pimp and then caterpillar was kind of like having this weird connection with like pimping young people, essentially. So he eventually switched it to pimp a butterfly, meaning like to pimp something beautiful, to like take advantage of something beautiful, but also to like spread more positivity. Like butterflies in his mind were more positive than a caterpillar.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that also kind of ties in, and I guess that's another part of the album that I think is also like pretty well done, and it ties into the Tupac stuff of like the concept of America and industry like taking whether it's like rap or like black people's talents and then like kind of perverting it to in a sense and then repackaging it and kind of pimping it out. Yeah, that stuff's really cool. And right now I'm still trying to figure out like what is Kendrick trying to say with his latest album. and I have no idea. There are a lot of theories on the internet that I can't recapture it all because it's basically like all based on a bunch of different breadcrumbs that are seemingly like unrelated but possibly related.
Yeah.
But so this, we're recording this on Friday. This podcast goes out on Monday, and so by Monday, people would already know if this is true or not. But people are speculating that, that Kendrick is going to release a second album that will be like the antithesis of this album, since like this album seems to have, it seems to be set up in a way that there should be like another side to it, almost
like a B-side companion piece, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, and even if he doesn't release an album, this album still feels like a full album. It's not like this album feels like it's missing anything for
but narratively,
for sure.
Narratively,
but yeah, narrative-wise, it feels like not that there necessarily like should, like there has to be another side to it, but it feels like another side to it could make it feel even like more complete and even more cohesive. Because I wrote a review for the album, and basically in that album I said like this album is like it's very straightforward. Like the thing that held Good Kid, Mad City together is the narrative told there of like Kendrick trying to like see Shireen and him getting caught up with like in gang violence and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then like the thing, they'll
go see Shireen now.
Yeah. Shireen.
Yeah.
The thing that held Pimp a Butterfly together was like, yeah, what we just talked about, like the Tupac narrative and like the themes of depression. Also like very, very much like the musical funk aspect of it also held it together.
Yeah.
This album,
Metamorphosis.
Oh, actually, I never even thought about it like that. Now that you use the word metamorphosis,
I mean, if you think about it, like To Pimp a Caterpillar, but then Kendrick realizing during the album's like creation that he wanted to spread a more positive message, and like the message was about him like overcoming his like thoughts of depression and like trying to find his roots and trying to find out like where he came from as a way of like kind of combating these new, more depressive thoughts in like a more fame oriented like life.
Yeah.
It only made sense that he changed the title to like a metamorphosized caterpillar.
Yeah. And so like that stuff held it together. This album, I'm like listening to it, I'm like, I don't know what holds this one together as much. Like the bass, like there's like a lot of bass in this album, and I don't know if it's just because I'm using like these earbuds, like these specific earbuds that I'm using, that's like making the bass sound really hard. But like the album sounds like a bunch of individual songs that all are like amazing songs, and some of it feel like there are some aspects, and so like there are some of the intros to some of the songs are like similar in terms of like they're a group of men singing. I don't know exactly what it's supposed to be, but yeah, they're like small like sprinkles of like certain things. And here's the theory people have. In the first track, which is Blood, Kendrick essentially dies, and he's releasing
this. Like, I was helping a blind woman, and then like then the blind woman's like, "Thank you so much, but I lost something." Kendrick goes, "What did you lose?"
Yeah,
your life.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
like she kills him. That was so cool to me.
Yeah, so like that happens, right? And people are taking that mixed with like the idea that okay, this album is released on Black Friday.
Good Friday.
Do you think Good Friday and Black Friday are supposed to be opposites?
No.
That would make sense. Man, he releases this on Good Friday, and so people are speculating that the next album will be called Nation, because Damn Nation, to which I'm like, yeah. And also, if you look at the album art for Damn, the M is above his head.
He has horns.
Yeah, like devil horns. And like they're speculating in Nation, the O would be above his head like a halo. But also, what I think makes even more sense, and somebody else is theorizing this, is that the next album will be called God. And if you look at this album, if you look at all the songs in this album,
like God damn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God damn it. Yeah.
And like
if
you look at all the songs on this album, all the first of all, the album name ends with a period, and all the songs end with a period. So they're like, okay, well, it would make sense for like this album to come sequentially after God, because it would make sense in the way they wrote everything with a period. But then like So Kendrick dies. All the songs seem to have like some seem to tie back to, or not all the songs, but it seems like most of the songs seemingly tie back to religion, which like pretty much all of Kendrick does. Like since Good Kid, Mad City, like most of Kendrick's songs tie back to religion in some sense. And basically like it all kind of encapsulates in the last song to where like I can't remember the last part of the last song. I can't remember the words he says, but basically the song ends and then you hear like a rewind and it's basically rewinding.
Yeah, back. Strip, rap, strip, rip, rap, strip, rip, rap, strip, rip.
But then like it rewinds back to like the beginning of the album. Like it rewinds back, or not necessarily the beginning, but you hear like parts of like the whole album being rewinded back. People are saying like once you pick up on the next album that it's going to start again from the beginning and tell a story. And I wish I had like the stuff in front of me, because there's like a bunch of like stuff like that of people saying like,
yeah, there's like a long ass list.
Yeah, like you messaged me one yesterday that I saw, and then like there was another one today that my friend tweeted at me, and it was even more stuff to where I was like, dude, that makes too much sense. And I don't know if it's going to be
yeah, because apparently the original title, or sorry, the original posting on the iTunes like site was supposed to be on Sunday, mm-hmm. but then it got immediately changed like I think the next day to Friday.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm not sure if it's gonna be like a new album, or it might be like maybe like he might drop the same album with like just like minor tweaks,
like a B side.
Yeah, yeah. And so like, I don't know, man. It's really fascinating. And I mean, one theory I have personally is that like maybe he releases, like, you know, when Beyonce released Lemonade, every song had a music video. And I think maybe what might happen is he releases music videos for all the songs that tell maybe the opposite side of what the song is. I don't know. Like, this is just me thinking, because like I think like if Damn had another album, or if Kendrick dropped another album, it feels really overwhelming, which might be what he's going for. But man, like that's something if he was to drop another album. Like that's crazy. And part of me, I'm like 25-75% on this. Like 25%, I think he's 25%. I think he's dropping an album. 75% is like no, but I think he's doing something on Sunday, and I'm not sure what it is. Oh man. Okay. So got that talk out of the way. And I was going to say that for what I've been up to this week, but I mean it works perfect there, because now I can go into the description, which is the OKBeats podcast is a gaming and nerd culture centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. We are the official podcast of OKBeats.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeats.com and follow at OKBeats now on Twitter. Ian.
Yes.
How are you once again? You're like you just woke up, didn't you?
Yeah. So my girlfriend just got back from Europe this week on Thursday. So yeah. I just like more of my time has been. So last week I was like fresh. I was ready to go because I like had so much free time. But now that my girlfriend is back, I'm spending most of my time with her. Then I'm also doing other projects. Then I'm also trying to play Persona. I'm also trying to like learn Japanese. I'm also trying to shoot videos. Like I'm trying to do so many things at once. So I'm a little bit tired, but it's all good. Yeah.
Like the people can't see you, but you got like that like Shia LaBeouf hair going on.
Yeah, I guess I do.
I don't know.
I want to get a haircut, man. But I guess to kind of like give feedback for my week, I guess the most important thing that happened to me this week that isn't game related is I started to like, I guess not be more health conscious, but I started to take this like herbal tea every morning. So like I have this new routine, right? So every morning this past week, I woke up, I had black coffee, I had this herbal tea with turmeric, ginger, lemon, honey, and like this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would drink both of those, and then I would walk out the house and I would go for a run, and then I would come back. I'd either edit the video or I would play Persona, and then usually you and I would have like a mini meeting, mm-hmm. like 15-20 minute meeting, and then I go to work. So yeah, this week has been like the week of new and good habits. So anyone out there trying to get new habits started, good luck. That's just like, I guess my, Yes, yeah, I don't know. Like, I read somewhere online about this, like, this herbal tea that would help you. Supposedly, it was like for depression, because apparently turmeric has like these high levels of anti-inflammatory agents in it. And then when you mix it with these other, like, ginger also helps with like focus, and then lemons also help you, like, I guess, like with electrolytes, like keeping you hydrated and all that sort of shit. So this drink is apparently just like a very good drink to have in the morning, just because it like restores stuff that your body needs for the day and helps you become more focused. So yeah, nice. So anyone, do you have any habits that you're trying to like start up recently? Like any new habits or?
I was going to say, because I feel like this last week has been kind of a week for me to like, I don't know, just start living more. I guess like the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to live more positively. I don't know if that's a habit as much as it is kind of like just like a mind state. I'm not trying to get all like hippie, weird Seattle hipster kind of thing going on, but like, I don't know. I've been trying to simplify more, not force myself to do things. That's why, like, I haven't been playing Persona as much this week, because if I feel like I've not really wanted to play Persona. That's not like a knock on Persona, but that's just like me being like, I'm not in the mood to play Persona. And even the same with Nier. Like, I've been playing quite a bit of Nier this week, but I haven't been playing as much as I could be, and that's just me being like. I don't want video games to be, I mean, I do want video games to be a job, but I don't want video games to be a job. I don't want to like force myself to do anything that I don't feel like. Two, I want to kind of establish my own pace for things. So I think for me, I've been trying, I guess overall it's been a time management thing for me. And managing time in a way that keeps me happy and, more uplifted, more positive, more forward going. And yeah, like I've just been trying to be that way and stay focused also, I guess, is a thing I'm trying to do.
Dude, I suggest that tea. Turmeric, ginger, lemon.
Turmeric. Okay, I'll keep that in mind, because I drink a lot of tea. Like a crazy amount of tea. Because I work at Starbucks headquarters, and like Starbucks owns Teavana.
And yes, so, I heard that. You did mention that to me once.
Yeah, and so, like, I just have, like, a large supply of tea at work. But, yeah, send it to me. I'll do it. And I'll tell you how I feel about it. We'll update on this podcast, actually. I have the resource. I just need to find a lemon. Do you put an actual lemon in it?
Yeah, so, like, I have, like, a hot... this is, like, a real interesting side note. I have, like, a hot... Not hot plate, but I have, like, essentially a hot water, like, kettle. And then I just cut the lemon in half. I squeeze the lemon, put it into the kettle, and then I add the turmeric and ginger and all that other shit. And then I let it all heat up together.
Sick. Okay, cool. Yeah. I might try
so
that. Yeah,
so that's what I suggested, honestly. Especially if you've been trying to deal with like depression sort of stuff. Like, because apparently turmeric is an anti-inflammatory, and apparently if you're depressed, that can somehow link to like inflammation in your body, apparently. Again, I haven't read the articles well enough to like give you a better explanation, but the gist of it is that. But I've also been playing Persona 5, and I realized that like last week when we were talking about it, I was kind of on it, not because of its quality, same as you. It's like, oh, I didn't like have enough time to play it this week or whatever. But the reason why I think I was like that is because I was like still in the tutorial dungeon when I had already seen almost the entire dungeon being played in Japanese by my girlfriend. So in my head, I was like, oh, this is boring, because I already had seen it. But as soon as I got to a part that I didn't see, I was like, oh, I'm in 100%. No problem. Like, I was like immediately invested. And on top of that, the special edition came up on Amazon last Tuesday.
And you got it?
I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't spend $100 on it.
So you get you bought a game twice.
No, I bought a game three times.
Jeez.
Japanese, English, digital, and then now this physical thing.
Wait, you got English digital? Oh, because you got the Jap. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Dude, that's crazy. So.
Well, the reason why is because it comes with the bag, man. I want to cosplay as Ryuji.
I guess. I was going to say you could probably get on eBay from somebody, but I I don't trust eBay or even like online shopping.
But apparently it also comes with, it comes with an art book. It comes with a soundtrack, and the soundtrack is unbeatable. Like, it's amazing. So that has already paid its weight in gold. The soundtrack and the art book. And because I collect art books as well.
How many hours do you put into Persona?
20 plus, I think. Like,
okay, so you're further than me at this point then.
But I'm also grinding.
In the Mementos?
I just beat the first dungeon.
Have you reached the Mementos?
No, but I know what they are.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Then I'm still further than you. I've like just reached Mementos, which is not a spoiler for people listening. But yeah, like I'm enjoying it so far. But yeah, like I think we're both kind of like, man, I think that's partly because we both played Persona 4 Golden for the first time just last year. Whereas like most people playing Persona 5 either haven't played a Persona or they probably played Persona 4 like a long time ago. And so like me playing Persona 5, I keep looking back and being like, I keep thinking of it in the sense that when you get like 30 hours into Persona 4, you're like invested in that story. Like at that point, you're like, you're in this, you know, these characters, you're fully in there. You're like homies with Yosuke, Chie, Risei, all these people. And like you spend another like 60 hours or so like hanging out with them and invested in this deep story. And like Persona 4 feels like home. Whereas I start this game, I play this game and I'm like, why am I not into this yet? Why am I not into this? And the thing is, I'm only like 12 hours in. Whereas, like, I spent 90 hours in this other game in the same series. And so I think it's a thing for me where it's probably a thing where I have to put in, like, another 20 hours if I want to, like, fully, like, immerse myself into it. Which I think is probably fair for me to do because I acknowledge that I've set myself up to kind of just judge this game by the standards of Persona 4 the whole time. And I'm, like, I'm hoping – I mean, I expect this game to hopefully be – as good if not better than Persona 4, but I need to stop comparing this game 10 hours in to Persona 4 70 yeah. hours in.
I feel
the
you
for me. And so but I'm still I think it's cool.
My one gripe though with it so far is I said before, the names is they're getting really annoying at this point, because now some people are saying the Japanese pronunciation like side characters that mention characters' last names are using the Japanese pronunciation, but main characters are using an English, like British English way of speaking it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bothering me, but that's not really that big of a deal. The thing that's bothering me, at least now where I'm at now, is that I don't know how to allocate my time properly.
Same.
Like, in Persona 4, there like maybe it was just me, or maybe because there were like tons of guides out when I played it, but it was like, okay, the best way to get this is to do this. The best way to do this is to do this. So if you want to make these skills go higher, go here. If you know what I mean? And I felt like I had a more of a rhythm and more of like a understanding of how to use my time in P4. But now I feel like there's so many things to do and so many things not only can increase one skill.
Get that but
also,
out.
Yep, get it out. But also do like something else as well that I don't know how to like mix the spread, essentially. Like if you go to the diner, you get guts if you order a certain item, but you also get knowledge, but then you also can get guts from doing this other thing, but that thing gives you guts and kindness, you know what I mean? Like like features are being like combined in such a way that it's harder to keep track of like where to go.
Yeah, I'm having the same issue where I'm like, and I think what I've heard from people, what I've been trying to do is press the touchpad to get like what's everybody doing that day.
Just to get like a bigger scope.
But yeah, like I'm at a point where I'm like, I don't know if I can find other people that I can make my confidants. Like I think the game's telling me that I can and that I should, but I run around, I'm like, I can't find anybody. And then I'm like, well, okay, I want to do these things, but I need guts to do all these things. And I try to figure out like, okay, what gives me guts? And like that's kind of like the flow of at which I'm playing the game right now, is trying to figure out everything, which is going to take forever because I couldn't figure out everything in 4 until like 60 hours in. So yeah, it's kind of a weird place to be.
Apparently someone told me that guts is like a hard stop on a lot of social links.
Yeah,
that you need guts to talk to like a lot of your social links.
I want to start like my social link with Anne. Like, I guess it's already started, but I want to, like, progress it from, like, the first level or point or whatever. But I need, like, kindness and something else, confidence maybe. I guess that is guts. And then, yeah, like, some other things. Like, I've ran into, like, so many things where it says you need guts. And I think Persona 4 was the same way. Like, I think you needed guts for a lot of things in Persona 4. Yeah. And, like, I get... the thing that confuses me, too, about Persona, and I don't know if it's meant to be, like, a second playthrough thing, but, like, there have already been points, like, early on the game where, like, vital dialogue choices, they're like, oh, if you want to make this choice, you have to have guts. And I'm like, well, if I played the game, like, if I allocated all my time up to that point towards getting guts, would I still have enough guts to, like, do that thing? And I don't know if Persona knows the fact that I'm not going to have enough guts this early on in the game, or if they're just like, well, this is part of the narrative that, like, oh yeah, you're not able to do these things because you don't have this yet.
What's your opinion on using, like, guides and stuff on your first playthrough?
I don't like using guides. Like, I don't judge other people for using guides. I think it's just, like, it's the way you want to digest the game. And so, like, for me, I assume that the developers of the game made this game with the idea that I'm not going to use a guide. If
that's true, then please let us talk for another hour and a half about Persona 4's ending.
Oh, dude.
Those developers had the intention of no one getting that ending.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like I think
you need to open your wrist on a Sanskrit tablet to get the fucking Persona 4 true ending.
Yeah, we started, like, talking about it the other day while we were on PSN, because
we got to that topic
where we were like, man, Persona 4 is, and, like, yeah, how do you, there are 7 choices in a row you need to make out of nowhere in that game to get that ending, and if you don't, you just don't know. It's crazy, and I really hope this game isn't the same way. But yeah, like, I operate under the assumption that, like, game developers made this game with the idea that I'm not going to use a guide, and I want to get the full experience of this game. That like other people can't, because I think it's I think it's fair if that's how you want to experience the game.
Yeah, my whole thing, or my whole opinion with it is that with Persona, this game is loaded with content, and if you want to make sure that you get all the breadth of things you can do, you should probably listen to someone who's experienced in the game. So, like, when I played P4, hell yeah, I used the fucking guide. Hell yeah. Like, because then I, at least to understand where to go and what places were worth my time. Like, for example, I don't know, if you go to Rise every single day, then that's a bad idea, because then you only have a social link with one character, and then your powers won't be strong enough for you to do, like, other big dungeons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like stuff like that. Yeah. Like,
but even like
conceptually, what is the best way to play the game in terms of, like,
I think to strengthen your point, because, like, I mean, the example you gave with Rise, that's, like, something that I feel like at a certain point while playing Persona, you kind of grasped it, like, okay, if I want to get all, if I don't have, I have limited time. So if I want to, like, get these different social links, I have to do different things. But to your point, though, that, like, you got the Marie ending in the game, I didn't. Like, I still haven't seen Marie's ending in Persona 4.
Yeah,
because
someone told me. Because no, well, I didn't. That wasn't because of a guide. It's because someone told me. Someone was like, "All right, who's your waifu going to be?" I was like, "Oh, well, I really like Marie." And then they said, "Okay, good. Don't change that. Don't change that idea." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And they were like, "Well, date Marie, and then also date someone else in the group, because they don't talk to each other, so it's not a big deal." And I said, "Oh, okay."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I that was something that I hated, and I still hate the fact that, like, and I guess that ending is more of a secret ending, secret true ending, I guess, than, like, the other true ending in the game. Like, the original true ending in Persona 4 is, like, basically, like, the original ending. Like, it's what the ending should be. I guess that may
Yeah, the intended but ending.
It's, like,
yeah.
The intended ending. The Marie ending, I feel like, kind of counts more as a secret ending. So I'm more forgiving of it for that. But still, I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't. If you're a developer and you want me to see this thing, like, if it's the thing that I'm supposed to see, then, like, make it possible for me to do it without a guide. If it's a secret thing that you're like, oh, I only want, like, 5% of the people playing to see this, or I only want, like, I don't want this to be, like, an easy thing to see, or a thing that's intended to see, then, like, yeah, make it hard enough so that I have to use a guide or get guidance doing it or something like that. But yeah, like,
and also the fact that, like, okay, so there are, like, 100 games out that are good right now, and motherfucker, I don't have time to play Persona 5 2 times. It's a 100 hour game.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, I love it so far. I'm really enjoying it so far. but like I don't have the I physically do not have the time to play this to completion and then stop, make sure, like, pull out a guide, buy a guide, and then play it to completion again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I was going to say, like, part of my, I guess, my personal policy with guides is that I use guides after I beat games. And with Persona 5, after you beat it, you're basically going to just start over again. And so that just means I'm not going to play it a second time to get, like, the full experience. But, with, like, with Zelda, I beat Zelda, yeah. And I was like, okay, what do I have left to do? Because I guess Zelda is weird because Zelda, you beat the game, and that's only like 10% of the game. So like you just have the rest of the game left. But like I beat Zelda, and now I'm like, okay, now that I've gotten like what feels like the core experience of this game, I'm gonna free myself and open myself up to be able to like have guidance in like pursuing like certain things. And I don't like use a guide all the way through, but like I still like if I need something to point me in the right direction, I'll use a guide. Like to get the captured memories, I had like 3 left, and I looked for them for like 30 minutes or an hour or something like that, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna use the guide now because this one.
That's
this
the same
fun.
Way I did it with the memories as well.
Yeah, because like
I was
at a
like,
point,
fuck this.
At a certain point, if it's not fun, then like, why are you playing the game at that point?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You might as well just like get this thing so you can just move on. But my guap. I'm thinking Big Sean had a song called Guap back in the day. It was a really good song. My issue with Persona 4, I don't even know what word I was thinking of. My guap. What word sounds like guap?
No.
My qualm. Yeah, I was gonna say qualm. I mixed it up with guap. My qualm with Persona 5. Sorry. And it's very small. It's not a bad. It's not a really bad thing. Is and I told you this before. Off podcast is how your character that you're playing as is a silent protagonist, but he talks like every now and then. He has like straight up just dialogue that he says, whether it's like it's in the battle or if you're gonna save and he's like, I guess I should write this down.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, or like, oh yeah, that was great, like,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
He talks and it when he talks it feels super random because like he's silent for 99% of the game, then just this 1% he chooses to talk. That feels really jarring to me. And in the same vein, the dialogue choices you have in the game, and I wish I could screenshot this game because I came across one last night where I was like, this is my point. A lot of the dialogue choices you have are the same thing, and so like, for example, this is a fake example, but it's kind of it's almost to this extent where it's like somebody will be like, hey, do you want to go eat some pizza? And your choices will be like. And this is if it's like a main story thing, not if it's like a random thing you're doing. It'll be your choices will be like yes, sure, probably, and they'll all like result in the same response from that person. It won't be like a. I don't know. It seems very much that like the game is linear, which is it. That's what it wants to be, and that's not even a knock. That's like what Persona is, and so that's not a knock. But if you know you're giving me choices, or if you know you want me to have this response, or if you want my character to say this specific kind of thing, then why give me the choice? Just let my character say it by himself. Like if you give me choices, I feel like they should be choices that matter to some extent. Like even if they don't matter, at least allow me to paint that character the way I want to paint it. So if it's like if you're asking me do I want pizza, allow me to at least say like no, and you can still give me pizza, but like maybe like have the characters respond like, oh, well, we're going to get pizza anyway. Or, like, or I don't know. Allow me to paint this character a certain way rather than give me choices for dialogue and all the dialogue options say the same thing. And it's not like a... It doesn't happen, like, every scene or anything like that. It's, like, something I notice, like, once... Probably, like, once every hour, I'll see something like that. And I'll be like, what the heck, man? And so that's my guap on Persona 4. Or Persona 5, I mean. Do you have anything else you've been up this week? Or even anything else you wanted to add as far as Persona 5 or anything?
Oh, there's a character. No spoilers, but there's a character. Actually, sorry, two things. First thing is that a character that I know that you get later in the game, just because she's in all the promotional art, mm-hmm. is in the library.
Really? Wait, is she...
Yeah, so if you...
I don't want to ask.
Don't ask. But there's a character in the library... That you, I mean, she's in the fucking loading screen, so you've seen this character before, but she is there in the library.
Chilling. That's cool. That's actually really cool. I went to the library. Yeah. I didn't notice her. I think I know who you're talking about.
And also, fun fact: there is another character that you get. It's like, I think the final, it might be the final character you get in, on your party. They are in the start, like, you know that screen that you get when you're in the subway, when you're like, new game, load game or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
They're in the very, very back.
Huh.
Like, if you go, I think if you go to options, you get a closer look at them. But I was like, oh, fuck. Wait, what? Like, I was, like, very surprised when I noticed that. And also, they're also apparently in the loading screen as well.
Hmm.
So, like, yeah, it's cool. If you know what I'm talking about, then go check out the loading screens and go check out the starting screen for Persona 5.
I like the Persona 5, and I like that Persona in general does stuff like that. Because it's a very, yeah. It's a very, like, sneaky, witty kind of series, it feels like. Like, they know what they're doing with, like, their Easter eggs and how they kind of place, like, story bits around that you don't notice. So, yeah, that stuff's cool. Do you have anything else you've been up to this week?
No, but in relation to what you're saying before, in, like, Persona 4, like, they would mention, oh, yeah, I love listening to Rosette. I love listening to this new Rosette song. And then that kind of, like, fed into Rosette coming in later. Or they would say, like, oh, man, like, there's this bully that's beating up kids in the parking lot or some shit. And then that kind of, like, would lead into Kanji.
Oh, yeah, I like that stuff. Something happening? Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought for a second it looked like you were staring at something. And so I was like, is he getting robbed?
No, I'm not getting robbed, I promise.
All right. So I'll get into what I've been up to this week. But before I do, we have a couple of announcements. One, rate us on iTunes, because I figured out our iTunes channel won't change when we switch up feeds. Basically, yay. There's like a thing I just plug the RSS feed into. And so you're allowed to rate us on iTunes. And so rate us on iTunes so that people that aren't you can see that our podcast exists and they can share in this podcast glory. And our podcast can grow that way and become even cooler. And we'll hire on Greg Miller because we'll get rich and have a lot of money. And then we'll buy out Kinda Funny and we'll buy out IGN and Kotaku. And we'll rule the world and then murder. I'm just kidding. And so rate us on iTunes. Also, we have a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to, OK Beast, on YouTube. We're almost to 100 subscribers. And once we reach 100, we can then make our own URL. And it'll be youtube.com/OKBeast and it'll be grand. And so check out our YouTube channel, subscribe, and if you're listening to us, not on iTunes, but on a podcast service. So if you're listening to us on Google Play, probably Google Play, I'm not even positive at this point, Podbean, and a lot of other podcast services that aren't iTunes, then you probably will have to switch your feed once we switch over. And we'll make sure that you know. We'll upload a podcast or an audio thing saying that, like, hey homie, migrate to the new feed. And so keep all that in mind. Once again, thank you guys for listening to OK Beast. Just want to put that out there. We've been getting responses from people lately saying that, like, oh, you checked out the podcast, it's dope. And to all those people, I'd like to say thank you, you're dope. So yeah, as far as what I've been up to this week, like you, I've been playing Persona 5 a bit. We already talked on that, so I don't even have to go into it. Having a lot of fun with it. Great game. If you haven't played Persona and you're wondering, like, should you get into Persona? Get into Persona, because Persona is a great game. Like, it sounds like I'm pretty, like, meh on it, but that's because, like, I played 100 hours of Persona last year, and so it's more of a me thing than the game thing. Also, I've been playing Nier Automata, and Ian, let me tell you about Nier Automata.
Tell me.
I haven't gotten that far. And so, like, I've gotten pretty far. I'm, like, 13 hours in, which I guess is pretty far. I've not gotten so far that the story... I said far. I haven't gotten so far that the story has, like, blown my mind or anything like that.
Oh, my God.
I haven't, like, reached a point to where, like, I'm like, oh, this is, like, the greatest thing ever. But what I have noticed that the game does extremely well, at least I feel like, is the atmosphere that the game creates. From the fluidity of the gameplay and the movement and the combat to, like, the environments that you traverse to the soundtrack, which is my favorite soundtrack this year so far. And this is in the same year as Zelda.
Don't at me.
Nier Automata has my favorite soundtrack of the year so far. And, like, Zelda, before I played Nier, I played Zelda. And Zelda was the best soundtrack I've heard in years. And so for me to say that, like, Nier Automata has the best soundtrack I've heard this year so far speaks volumes to Nier's soundtrack, because Nier's soundtrack is sick. Like, it's so good. And it was a very slow burn, because, like, I heard it, like, I started playing the game, I was like, oh, yeah, this soundtrack's pretty decent. And then, like, the more I played Nier, and the more, like, the more the soundtrack kind of unfolds as you get further and further, and you kind of, like, hear different songs and how they apply to different areas. Like, that game has an amazing soundtrack, and it knows what it's doing with its soundtrack. It's different, it's catchy, it's good. It's not like, dude, this is the same year I'm playing Persona 5 also, and so that really speaks volumes, because Persona 5 soundtrack is also sick. And I'm really curious.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I'm curious to see at the end of the year, like, what I decide is, like, my favorite soundtrack, because Nier, Zelda, and Persona 5, all for different reasons, have very incredible soundtracks. But right now, like, while I'm playing Nier, I'm like, dude, this soundtrack is dope. And maybe it's because it's unlike anything I've heard before. Persona 5 soundtrack is, like, kind of similar to Persona 4's, but also, like, it's still is kind of its own thing. It has its own feel to it, which is really dope. Nier's soundtrack is, like, nothing I've heard before. And so that's really dope. The gameplay is dope. The story and stuff is cool, but I still need to experience more of the story to understand, like, why people are, like, blown away by it, because there's a lot of people that are, like, blown away by the story. But yeah, that's me and Nier. We talked about Kendrick's album before, so I won't spend more time on it. I want to talk about the NES Classic real quick. Ian, did you see that that Nintendo discontinued the NES Classic?
Yeah, I saw something about that. Like, what's the deal?
I have no idea what the deal is. I think they're just like, yeah, we're just done. Like, it was a they had, like, a statement saying, thank you for all you guys that have, like, shown that have supported the NES Classic and have shown interest, and we've heard all your feedback and all this stuff. And basically, they're saying that, like, we're shipping out our last shipment of NES Classics. And that's basically it. Like,
why?
It's the most insane. The NES Classic has been, like, the most, like, insane thing I've seen. Like, it's so dumb the way they handled the NES Classic. And, like, this is the same company that did the Wii U. And I'm probably even more flabbergasted with the way they handled the NES Classic than they did with the Wii U. Because,
okay,
let's recap. They released this thing. Or no, they announced this thing. Up to the release of it, no pre-order. You could never pre-order the NES Classic. The NES Classic's release in stores, and they sell out immediately because they're very limited in supply. Like, not many people at all, like, got the NES Classic. Like, they're so limited. Up until now, it's been pretty hard to get an NES Classic, and now you can't get one. And this is probably, like, one of Nintendo's, within, like, recent history, one of their more popular products. Because, like, the Wii U wasn't popular. The Switch is popular, I think. It seems like it's sold, like, 900,000, I think, or something like that. The NES Classic was, like, this cool thing that everybody was into. Like, even I heard my sister talking about it, because they're selling it at, like, this truck by her work. When it originally released, and, like, people like rushed to get them. Like, this is a thing that people were into, and this is a thing that people were willing to pay money for, and this is the thing that, like, made people reminisce about Nintendo and remind people, like, why Nintendo's great and why Nintendo's Nintendo. And they're like, okay, cool, we have this great awesome thing that the public will love, let's just mishandle it the whole way through and not hit one mark with it. I don't know, man. I just want to mention that because that blew my mind. I was gonna make it topic of the show, but I figured, like, maybe we could use topic of the show to, like, have more of a positive discussion on Nintendo a bit. But yeah, no, that blew my mind. Do you have any thoughts on them discontinuing it at all?
I mean, I'm not super surprised. I mean, I don't know, actually. I don't know why they would stop making this if it was still selling, but in my head, maybe sales were on the decline, and that's why they, like, maybe it was like a limited window thing, because they were like, okay, this is only going to be a nostalgia play for a certain amount of time, and then we want all of our mental efforts to be pushing the Wii U and the Switch and the 3DS. Like, maybe it was like a marketing thing where, like, all right, the NES Classic is over, let's get all these shipments out,
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone says, "Oh, this thing is done," people want to go out and buy it. It's like the Kickstarter phenomenon where like people, the most money that's made on a Kickstarter is the very beginning and the very end.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume sales wise it's the same for a product, is that in the very beginning of a product, like the release of a product, that they get the majority of their sales, and then also when they say, "Oh, you know, it's over, it's discontinuing," they also get a large chunk of money. And then if the NES Classic is done, then that frees up the mental headspace for people to continue to talk about the Switch. Because if you think about it, if let's say that all the stock of the Switches all the stock of the NES Classic, they're sold out in the next month. It's April now. And then May and June, more Switch releases come out. And then, boom, every month there's a new thing to talk about with Nintendo, you know?
Yeah. I think it's weird. Like, I don't think sales were on the decline for it because, like, they were pretty hard to, like, get. And so, like, whenever they were available, like, they'd immediately sell out. And so it'd be hard. I think it'd be hard for Nintendo to really gauge what sales. Well, I mean, it would be hard for them to gauge what sales were like. But it'd be hard to, like, gauge what the popularity of it would be if, like, they were available to get, like, if people could just walk into Walmart and get one, because that's something, because I do think you have, like, the point of, you have a good point in which, like, the, like, now the NES Classic wouldn't sell as much as it did at launch, because it's already kind of, like, magic is kind of worn off a bit, but I still do think it's, like, it's one of those things that, like, if you walk into a Walmart, if, like, a parent walks into a Walmart, like, right now and saw the NES Classic, And they'd be like, "Oh, dude, I remember that thing. I used to play that thing when I was a kid. Oh, dude, we're getting that." And it'd be like a cool, like, random thing of like, "Oh, dude, this has Mario on it. This is all the Mario. It has Mega Man. This has that. It's like a cool. This is a cool, easy sell. Like, if it's a thing that you just see on a shelf at any store, it's like an easy sell to basically anybody that's like 30. In their 30s or in their 40s or in their late 20s. And even me, like, if I went to Walmart and I saw one, I'd consider getting one if I had enough money to. But yeah, I think one of my theories on why they're discontinuing it is Virtual Console. Like, I think they're going to start adding NES games to Virtual Console, and they don't want people to be able to, like, get those multiple experiences in multiple places, because they start cannibalizing each other. And so maybe they want more focus to be on Virtual Console once they get that up. And I think another theory I have that, like, nobody's talked about, and so I'm most likely wrong. I'm 99% wrong in this, but it was something that came to mind, is that I think the NES Classic got hacked when it originally came out, and people were able to, like, play any NES game they wanted on it. But just, like, they basically treated it as an emulator where, like, you download ROMs and put them on your NES Classic, and you could play that way, which is, like, a cool thing.
I mean, that already happened with the Wii and the Wii U. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean, that's a good point.
What is stopping the production of the product?
Yeah.
Gonna do.
I don't know, man.
Like,
it's Nintendo. Like, and so, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much the way I'm hacking and, like, taking over systems so you can put emulators and shit on it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a friend that had a hacked Xbox 360. Do you hear about that often? No. But I'm saying it's a possible thing. It's a possibility. Like, PSPs get hacked all the time. Vitas get hacked. Like, DSs. I used to have a hacked DS. So, like,
oh, dude, my Wii is hacked. Like, I don't play my Wii anymore. I haven't played my Wii for, like, a year. But, like, it was hacked to the point where I could play PlayStation 1 games on it. And I could watch DVDs on it, and I think the Wii doesn't play DVDs regularly, and so I think it got hacked so it could play DVDs, which, like, blew my mind. I was like, how the heck are you able to do that? But yeah, I could play PlayStation games on my Wii. What else could I do? That was crazy.
You could bake a cake with it.
Bake a cake with it. It had this cool thing.
If
where
I put all the ingredients in,
I could track all the stats of my playtime and how many times.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like how many times I booted a game up and all this crazy stuff. Like, stuff like that. That might be, like, the best feature you could probably add to a console. And I don't know why the console developers don't do this. Like, let me see, like, all my stats for how many times I turned on Persona and how many hours I put. I guess I could see how many hours I put into Persona in Persona. But yeah, like, I put in, like, 50 hours Twilight Princess. I put in 25 hours No More Heroes, No More Heroes 2, each of them. I put in, like, I can't think of any. Oh, Super Mario Galaxy 2. I put in like a good 40 hours into. But yeah, no, my Wii was crazy hacked. But yeah, that's a good point. Like, people are emulating, or like are just figuring out like how to like, or smoothing out emulating PS3 on computers. And so like, and it's a matter of like when. It's not like an if thing. It's a this thing's gonna get hacked sooner or later. But yeah, it's it's crazy that they discontinued it. Yeah, I just want to talk about that because that blew my mind. As soon as I saw that, I was like, are you kidding me? So I'm not going to get one then, is what you're saying. And if I did get one, I didn't open it, I'd be rich. So I wish I did that. I've also been watching 13 Reasons Why, which is on Netflix. It's a new show on Netflix. I won't even say the premise of it. It has a cool premise. And I think that everybody should at least watch the first episode. I watched the first episode and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, this is like a cool show. I think I'm good. I don't need to know the rest because I thought like it seemed kind of corny to me. But also, after I didn't watch it for a day, I started hungering. I was like, okay, how's the story going to play out? And also, 13 Reasons Why gives me a very strong Degrassi feeling. And I used to be a big Degrassi fan. Like, I was into Degrassi, Ian. And so, after making those connections, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go back and watch some of this. And so, I'm hooked on it. I'm absolutely hooked on it.
Wheelchair Jimmy.
But basically, it's a high school drama. And that might sound horrible, but it's a good high school drama. It still has, like, the corniness of a high school drama, but I think it's still good. So, I did that. And I watched Louis C.K.'s new special. And Ian, you're right when you said that, like, Louis C.K. seems to be dealing with his sexuality. I don't know if you said that on the podcast or off the podcast.
I think I said it off the podcast.
Okay, well, that's going to be really funny out of context then.
Fun fact, Louis C.K. is gay now.
Louis C.K. is gay, but he might not know he's actually gay. So let's get into the topic of the show. Topic this week, I want to go through the Nintendo Direct really quickly and kind of like get our thoughts on it, because I think up to this point, and not even up to this point, but like up to the release of Nintendo Switch, we were kind of hating on the Switch. Now the Switch is out, I know for me, like, I've been a bit more like, okay, I see this thing, like, I feel more comfortable with it, even though I have my I have issues with it, but I'm at a point where I'm comfortable with what this console is. I don't even know where you're at, but now that this Nintendo Direct is out here, I feel like it's a good point at which we can kind of reconsider how we feel about the Nintendo Switch. And so, to get quick stuff out there, I'm just like scrolling down the site. I'm on neurope.com, which is a website I've never heard of, and so you know, it's legit. You got Neo Geo, Aka, ACA, Samurai Showdown, which is available. Mario Kart 8 DX is coming out April 28th. Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Mario Kart coming out the 28th? Really?
Yeah.
That's so soon.
It's the deluxe edition. It's basically Mario Kart 8, but deluxe. Did you not think? I think they said that it was coming out in the spring.
Interesting. Okay. I got to get that game then.
Yeah, that should be pretty good. Puyo Puyo Tetris comes out April 28th, the same day as Mario Kart. Ultra Street Fighter 2 comes out May 26th. Minecraft Nintendo Switch Edition comes out May 12th. Disgaea 5.
Oh, it's going to sell so much.
Oh, dude. I mean, Minecraft is like the highest selling game
ever.
Ever. And so, like, I saw it. I was like, who's going to get Minecraft again? But I think we'd probably both be surprised on, like, the sales of that. Disgaea 5 Complete comes out May 26th. Fate Extella, the Umbra Star, which I have no idea what that is, comes out July 21st. In summer, we got Battle Chasers, Night War, Namco Museum, Project Makuru, Sign Mora X, which actually looks kind of cool, and Sonic Mania, which I'm so hyped about and I cannot wait for.
Sonic Mania!
In autumn 2017, we have Monopoly coming to Switch.
Well, boys, we did it. Monopoly.
In winter, we have Sonic Forces. And in sometime during this year, we have Payday 2 and Rayman Legends Definitive Edition. Those are the games that were announced at the Direct. Of course, we have other games that were announced that were included, like Mario's, of course, coming out in December and all that stuff, but these are, like, new announcements, whether it's, like, the dates or whether they're, like, new games. Like, Payday 2, for example, is a new game, which came out of nowhere, but, yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the Direct? at all? Or those?
Wait, didn't they also release the new character for?
Oh, you know what? I think since I'm reading nEurope.com, I think I'm just getting like the because Europe has different announcements, or some stuff wasn't announced at the Europe in the Europe Direct. So yeah, he had like the new amiibos.
New amiibos? What new amiibos are there?
Basically, they rounded out the Smash ones. So there's a Cloud amiibo that actually looks pretty sick. Bayonetta, and there's another one from Smash. I think it was like another.
And my dad. It's my favorite amiibo.
I just imagine my dad is an amiibo, and that's actually pretty hilarious.
These are the videos that I want to make. It's like new amiibos coming. Cloud, Bayonetta, my dad.
And here's a picture.
This is a Photoshop of my dad. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be yours. It'd be weird if I put my father in like a video on YouTube because he's a pastor, and so he can't deal with any bad publicity. I'm pretty sure that's bad publicity.
To be get your my dad today. Get your my dad. For $29.99, you can get my dad. Dude, complete Wii U functionality.
My cousins forever ago made a Mii of my uncle, their dad. And man, yo, Miis are crazy because those things are accurate. Like, you can make these things accurate.
My dad is available for the Nintendo Switch, not their dad. Their dad is available for the Xbox 360.
Oh, you're right.
It's a separate product. Don't talk about their dad. It's about my dad.
It's like the alternate version. It's like when you have like games on different consoles that have like different endings for no reason. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like back in the day when like you played Aladdin on the Super Nintendo, but then you played on the Genesis and they're different games.
What the fuck was up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe they made deals with like the Nintendo or whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, we'll make you an exclusive, wink wink, and then like turn around and to Sega and was like, we'll make you an exclusive, and then they technically did both different games. Let me see if I can find any of the other announcements, because there's amiibos, and then there's
new character for ARMS.
Oh dude, I skipped the ARMS stuff. I didn't even watch. I saw like 5 seconds of ARMS gameplay, and I was like, "Nah, I'm good." Like, it looks cool. I'll play it probably. I won't buy it, but I'll play it at a friend's place. But I can't watch ARMS gameplay because I know exactly what that game is, and you can't show me more stuff and be like, "Oh yeah, see, this game's cool. It's unique." I know exactly what this game is. It's Wii boxing with like cool stretchy arms and more. It's more fleshed out. And I'm excited. That's all I want from it. I don't need it to be any more. I don't need it to be any less. I just need that, and I'm good. They also... this is from memory. They announced the neon yellow Switch things, the Joy-Cons, which look interesting. They actually look cool. I won't even front. They look cool. Just the idea... If you told me before the Direct that they're announcing neon yellow, I would have drop-kicked you out a window. But after seeing them... I was like, okay, cool. I can see that. Do any of the announcements excite you?
Not really, no.
No, not Payday.
The games are cool. Like the games being released and talked about, they are interesting, and I'm glad that they're coming out. But I'm not like super surprised about it. Dates? I'm surprised about.
Yeah, the dates are interesting. The dates are closer than I think you probably would have even thought, which is nice. Have you seen the gameplay for any of the games?
No. Why? Is it bad?
No, but like they showed some of the gameplay during. Did you see the Direct?
No, I didn't. That's okay. Why I'm all my information is coming from you.
Gotcha. A lot of them don't look like 3DS games, but they strike me as games that would have came out on the 3DS. Not in like a bad way, but in like a where do these games even come from kind of way. Like a lot of these games are just super random, it seems like. And that's probably a good thing because you want like a diverse ecosystem, and I'm not sure how many of these games are coming out for PlayStation or Xbox or are even on PC, but I don't know, it just seems like some of these games seem interesting to look at, and I think some of these games even did come out on 3DS, and so I like how they did the Direct, which was they basically set it up like a meeting schedule, itinerary. They had like an itinerary kind of thing going on, and basically it'd be like 15 to 30 seconds on each item, and they just show trailer after trailer after trailer and just go on to the next thing, be like, hey, we have this thing coming out, this is what it looks like, boom, go to the next thing, and you could kind of see what's coming up. Minecraft has Wario in it, and he looks weird. It has all the Mario characters, but Wario specifically, like a Minecraft character looking like Wario, just strikes me as kind of weird.
I'm visually not.
It was creepy.
Not okay with that.
I saw it and I was like, "Oh, that's creepy." But yeah, I wish I had a better layout. I wish I didn't have this European website. I wish I had an American website that could lay out things clearer. But yeah, how do you feel about the Switch in general? Like, do you still feel pretty negative on it? Like we were feeling before, or like how have your emotions changed on it since the announcement and its release?
Overall, I was really negative about it before I got my hands on it because I couldn't really formulate an opinion because I was just going based purely off of what other people were saying. But now that I actually have it in my hands, I played Zelda. I like played it like every day for like 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I'm definitely a Nintendo Switch fan, and I'm excited for these multiplayer games. I'm not gonna play the Switch a lot, and that's kind of what I signed up for. But when a good multiplayer game comes out that I know a lot of people are going to be playing, I'm going to get it. Like, for example, like, we're going to meet up in June. And when June comes around, I'm definitely going to have Mario Kart. We're going to play Mario Kart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
But I'm not going to spend a lot of my time on the Switch. It's ironic, or not ironic, it's coincidental that Switch rhymes with niche, because this game is a niche system. Oh, someone's alarm's going off. Someone's alarm's going off.
Wait, what kind of alarm is that? Oh, it's her phone alarm. She's waking up.
Yeah.
Aw. Look at that. Look at that. Couple love. Aw. That's what happens when do you guys live together?
We live together.
Aw, that's what happens when you share an apartment with your significant other. I see you, fam. I see you. You should make her say some Japanese stuff in on the podcast.
No, she's too tired. She's sleepy.
Oh.
Sleepy lady.
What do you want for the Switch? Like, because I've kind of come to the point where I'm like, I understand that we're not going to get like big third party games on it. Like, there's not going to be Call of Duties on it. There's not going to be like Watch Dogs and like,
you know what would be cool? I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what would be cool? If they could somehow get Overwatch on there.
Man, I doubt it. Like, I think it'd be cool too.
I definitely doubt it. I definitely agree that I completely doubt that at all. But it's not graphically intense. It's a multiplayer only game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Again, completely just throwing it out there. But before we ask what we want from the Switch needs to deliver on what they promised. Like, where's my Smash game?
But they didn't promise a Smash game. All they promised was
if
a
they
thing
don't
you take
put
around.
Out a Smash game, they're fucking
morons.
Well,
yeah, they're morons. Like, I need Smash and I need Mario Maker. And if you give me those two things, then you've succeeded, Nintendo. And I made a good decision by buying a Switch, also by playing Zelda. But
Zelda on the go, I think, is more than enough reason to buy that system.
Yeah,
I think.
And like, Zelda.
Especially since since you and I are both so busy and that we have a long commute, like I think it's justifiable. But the thing is, your system, besides being portable, is also a multiplayer machine just because it's a portable system.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have this breadth of multiplayer games that you're like, yeah, we're not going to talk about Smash yet. Why the fuck not? Just fucking port it, for fuck's sake. Like, don't even change anything about it, and people would still buy it. You know what I mean?
Like, if you straight up just, like, dragged and dropped it, I'd be like, sure, why not? Like, I know that's not how, like, porting works, but, like, I mean, both of these are Nintendo systems, and so I assume y'all got, like,
infrastructure in place to do it.
Yeah, like, y'all have the ability to do it, like, very easily, too. Like, not even, like, it's not even, it, y'all get a team on there and isn't it like the business wise, like, you don't have to make deals with anybody, I guess. Well, that's a lie, because Smash Bros has so many characters in it, but like, I mean, so many non-Nintendo characters in it, but like, still, like, I'm sure you can get, you guys own Smash Bros, and so I'm sure you can work something out. But Super Mario Maker, absolutely no excuse. If I don't see Super Mario Maker on this thing by like the end of this year, I'm riding, and I live in Seattle, and so I'm in proximity to y'all, at least your American office. I'm in proximity, Nintendo.
Better watch out. I can Radical smell black Reggie. Man coming coming. I can smell Reggie.
I can smell Reggie, that large man from where I'm
at. That's the name of the episode. I can smell Reggie, the large man from where I am.
Name your audio that so I don't forget.
I can smell Reggie.
But yeah, I mean, that's my answer for all I want from the Switch is like Mario Maker and Smash. I would love for like your Overwatches and like your... It's weird that Steep is on there, but like your third party, your Ubisoft games, even though I don't necessarily like Ubisoft games, like, I would love to see those stuff on the Switch, but at this point, I'm not even sure if they would be at home. But then again, like you got Payday 2 on here, which also makes no sense, but like...
Why? Like...
Payday has like a surprisingly large audience. It's like a, it's kind of like a Minecraft thing of like, for some reason people buy it. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that that game is on there, but I'm surprised that if you told me a year ago, what games do you think are going to be at launch on the Nintendo Switch? I would be like, oh, definitely Smash Brothers and definitely Mario Maker.
Yeah.
And now we're like, how many months out? Like 3 months out?
Like a month out. A month and a half.
Not really? Month and a half,
yeah,
2 months
out. It feels
out,
like forever, like, because we put in like 80 hours in Zelda.
Yeah, that's true. So like 2 months out, they haven't even like whispered anything about fucking Smash Brothers at all.
It's sad.
That, and that's hilarious to
it's
me.
It's sickening.
The sick.
But yeah, I feel like at this point, before the Switch presentation, my expectations were like super high for what the Switch is going to have. After the presentation, my expectations super low. I was like super bummed about it. After release, after holding the thing, after playing it, and after like seeing kind of what they have on the docket, my expectations still kind of low. I'm like, they're very tempered at this point to where I'm like, you know what, Nintendo? I'm just going to assume that what you have before me is all that you have, and everything else that you announced for it, I'm just going to be surprised and be like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like when I saw Payday 2, I was like, didn't see that coming at all. Like,
I don't think anyone saw it.
Yeah,
it was, I don't think the developers of Payday saw it either.
Yeah, they were like, we're putting wood on the what? All right, I guess so. I mean, that's some more a bigger player base, I guess. But yeah, now I just want to touch on the Switch a bit and have some like time focus on it, because I feel like we're living in a very interesting age, Ian. A new console just released. A new Nintendo console just released. That's crazy. Last time that happened, things didn't go so well. And so we'll see what happens this time. Let's get into questions. Our first question comes from Babulo the Destroyer. He asks, who's your non-anime waifu?
Blessing is my non-anime waifu.
Aww. My non-anime waifu is Ian's girlfriend. No, I'm kidding.
It's a good choice.
Oh, yeah. Very nice young lady. I don't know if I have a... Oh, Emma Stone.
Easily. No, who is my non-anime waifu?
Who did I see?
Oh, from Persona. There's a character in Persona that's later
anime.
In the game. That's not anime. It's a video game.
Persona,
technically not anime.
It's pretty much anime. It's a
visual
novel.
It's anime styled. It's anime styled, but it's not an anime.
If Persona played itself, if you put the controller down and put in the game, what the exact it'd be anime. I don't know. I
consider anime to be a movie or a TV show that is animated.
Fair enough.
Persona 5 is a video game that has anime style, but is not technically an anime.
I don't know. The only thing keeping Persona from being an anime is the fact that it can't play itself. Like if it could play itself, and it'd be like, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's an anime. But
fine.
I'm just saying.
What do I even watch that's not anime now? What games do I... Oh, easy.
The girl from Rise is Yordan.
No.
Oh.
She is so boring. What? No. No, thank you. yeah, good thing her name is Aloy, because she might as well be a robot.
Dang.
Shots
fired.
No, the Gerudo Queen. Urbosa.
I mean, Zelda's kind of anime a little bit.
It's not... anime, it's Urbosa. Urbosa is main bay.
Wait, which one's Urbosa? Is that that's the Gerudo one?
The Gerudo queen.
Oh, okay.
For some reason,
I had the image of one of the great fairy fountains and one of those like monstrosity, those Ursula looking ladies.
I'd smash.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Super Smash Bros. New character. Alex Van Aken asks, who is the true Weeb King? What is a Weeb King?
Weeb is a term used to describe guys that love Japanese culture and anime and shit.
Oh, is that okay? Cool. I've been hearing that term a lot lately. I had no idea.
I guess it's supposed to be derogatory, but like, Danny and I use it against each other all the time. Like, ah, fuck you, weeb. You fucking weeb.
Oh,
it's supposed to be like a. It's like a bullying term against people who like Japanese culture, but like, it's fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay, so then in that case, Ian's the answer.
I think it is me. That's a pretty easy answer.
Nice. Our last question comes from Peanut0423, who's also the homie. That dude loves Kanye just like I do. I think we're each other's spirit animals, I believe. He asks, beasts. Morgana or Teddy? I'm conflicted. Brett.
Morgana, easy. Are you kidding me?
Really? I kind of don't like Morgana. Teddy was at least funny to me.
That's fine. You can be wrong.
What about Morgana? And if you don't know what we're talking about, like, we're talking about Persona characters. Both of these characters are animal characters in Persona. What about Morgana strikes you as interesting? Besides the fact that, like, she's an actual cat, which is
it's
hilarious.
It's not a she, it's a he.
Sorry, he. He sounds like a she.
He's competent. He actually knows what he's doing. He talks down to you because he's smarter than you and knows more about the world than you do. He has all the abilities of Teddy and all the knowledge of Teddy, but he's like, he can actually have a conversation with you.
That's fair.
He can transform back and forth at will between his cat form and his demon form, which is cool. Yeah. Like, he is just more compelling and more interesting than Teddy. Like, you can already tell from, like, the beginning, the onset in the first dungeon. There's a scene where he says, like, oh, I'm so glad that I decided to make a pact with you. It's not like, oh, I'm so glad that we're friends. Like, no, I'm glad that you and I are on the same team. He has ulterior motives. He has ulterior motives.
Yeah. Like, I noticed that, and I was like, dude, this guy, like, it's weird after, like, dealing with Teddy, because Teddy's just, like, a friendly, like, you and me, like, we're homies with Teddy. With Morgana, Morgana's just like, well, yeah, I'll be friendly with you, but, like, I have motives here. Like, this is a deal right here. And, like, that was the thing I noticed. I was like, oh, man. I thought we were, like,
best buds. With Teddy, it always felt like I was, like, talking to, like, a six-year-old. It's like, oh, God, it's me, Teddy. Hi. Like, I was like, oh, great. It's the talking bear.
Teddy's hilarious, though. Like,
I'm not denying that he has funny moments, but, like, to me, I was like, okay, like, two people have already died, Teddy. Stop making jokes about ice cream. I'm trying to figure out why my friend is going to die in the next 4 days. When Morgana's like 100% serious. Like, Morgana's like, yeah, no, if we don't do this, then we're going to get expelled. I think he's the one that mentions initially saying, like, oh, if you kill this, like, mental facet of someone in the metaverse, they have a mental breakdown in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Morgana broke that down super smooth, and I'm very curious. And I know this is most likely like 99% gonna get revealed later in the game, and so like I'm very curious to see like what Morgana's motives are. Like, why is Morgana doing what he is doing? What's his driving force? Is he like Teddy in I won't spoil anything from either game, but like towards the end of the Persona 4, you start to like learn about the true nature of Teddy and what he is and how he operates and stuff. And I wonder if it's like a very similar thing with Morgana, or if it's even like the same exact thing.
I hope it's not similar in that aspect.
Yeah, I hope
because that would be lame to see the same thing treaded over multiple times.
Yeah, that's a good point. I liked how they did with Teddy, but yeah, I'd like to see what they do with Morgana. And if it's something different, I just hope it like it's as like
as compelling.
As compelling and as much of a realization, or as a like deep realization, I guess. Cool. I had one more question for you, but I think I'm going to ask it off podcast because I don't know if it's Persona related. I don't want to spoil Persona for people. And so
the answer is yes, you can fuck Morgana eventually.
Yes. Okay. I was wondering about that. For those listening, remember that the OK Beast podcast is a gaming and nerd culture centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. We are the official podcast of OKBeast.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OK Beast Now on Twitter. I've been Blessing. You can follow me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. That has been Ian. You can follow him on Twitter at Ian Why Not. We will see you on the next episode. Say bye to the people.
Bye-bye.